Before we talk to an old friend here who's going to give us some medical advice, that was her theme song for many years, Dr. Kathleen London, who is was a big time New York physician, seeing all kinds of fancy people, doing all kinds of fancy things. And then she decided, it was very much like Bob Newhart, she decided that she was going to go live in a rural town in Maine and start to practice small town medicine, which is a totally different take on this. And it takes, I mean, that's it, what you did was always very inspiring to me, Kathleen, because you were, you decided that there are people out there in rural areas totally underserved by the medical community, and they need it. And as this pertains right now, as the coronavirus is making its way into every community in America,
yep.
I think there are a lot of people who think in the rural communities, and we've got a lot of them here in our listening area, in whether they're in central Illinois or Indiana or Iowa, wherever people are listening, Wisconsin, that they think, well, I'm here, I'm going to be safe. But that's not the case, is it?
Absolutely not. And so rural communities have, so there's good and bad. The bad is how many rural hospitals have closed. So we don't have the infrastructure to support them when they get seriously ill. The good is there's automatic social distancing if they stay put. I said that's the one thing that we have going for us in the county that I'm in, because otherwise we look like Italy. We're old. Everybody smokes. They have diabetes. They have heart disease. They have all the underlying risk factors. So it's a disaster in terms of that. But, no, it's everywhere. And, you know, we already here in Maine, we went from in the first 5 days, we went from 1 to 40 cases. And we're hardly testing, you know. They gave me, oh, here, Dr. London, you can have 4 test kits. And I just went, excuse me? What? I'm like the only one in the county testing. And I just kind of laughed at that, you know. And even the tests that I've done are pending for God knows how long. So we're way behind the curve here. You have to assume it's everywhere in the community because of how little testing we're doing. And when you have a novel virus, it means 2/3 of us are going to get it. The good part of that is that 80 to 85% of those will be mild. The problem is the 15 to 20% that aren't going to be mild. And we don't want to overwhelm. We don't have the resources. We just don't. Let me make that clear. So we want those 15 to 20% of cases that are going to be extreme to be over a long period of time, not a short one. And that's the idea of the social distancing that we're talking about, is to let these cases that are going to happen, the 2/3 of the population that are going to get this disease, let it happen over 18 months and not 18 weeks. Because if it happens over 18 weeks, we could see up to 2 million deaths in the U.S. And I'm not kidding.
Right. No, I mean, that's what the CDC was projecting for sure. How did people get it in these rural communities so fast, do you think?
I think it's been, so I think that it was jumping into the U.S. as early as January and February. And unfortunately, because we didn't start testing early and ramping up testing and testing asymptomatic people, it spreads easily. It's first of all, it's spreading in all different ways that we don't know. Like, it lives on plastic for days. It lives on money and paper for hours. So there's all different ways. And, you know, that whole fomite thing, you touch something and you touch your face and then you get it. So it's spreading. And when you have something that's very severe and everybody who gets it gets very sick, well, then it's obvious who to isolate. But when you have people who are asymptomatic and passing it, then you don't know who to isolate. And that's the problem. And that's why it's spreading. And it's fine for the people who don't get sick, but unfortunately, not so good for the people who are going to get very ill.
Do you have serious illnesses in Maine right now?
We do. We do have some. Fortunately, the majority of illness is not, but there's a few people in the hospital, yeah. And then there's the unknowns, right? And then the scary thing is when it hits places like mental facilities or any kind of residential facilities, so not just old age homes, you know, but what about jails and things like that, where you have close situations? Those are all the things, you know, we're worried about. And when I see kids, you know, partying in Florida, saying, I don't care. Not only, first of all, there's the selfish factor of, you know, don't you care about the other generations? But also, you stupid idiot, have you seen that there are 20-year-olds on ventilators in Italy and in France? You know, you're not out of the woods.
They have not. We played that audio on Tuesday, and I've never seen a more angry reaction on the phone lines and text lines to those idiots. And as a matter of fact, they're still playing that video and audio days later. It actually, one of the reasons that the governor of the state of Illinois decided that he was going to close down the restaurants and the bars, he made that announcement
on
Sunday.
Last weekend.
Yeah. Right, was because he saw on Saturday that same demographic running out and partying in all the bars in downtown Chicago without any sense that they were endangering themselves or the people around them. I want to ask you very quickly, I got a minute left. Do you think, Dr. Kathleen London, Dr. Chaya, by the way, Chaya, if you want to find her on all the social media and all that stuff, if this virus mutates, it could become an even bigger problem. It also could go the other way, too, and become a less serious problem. The question, I think, right now, science is trying to figure out. Some people get really sick with it. Some people don't get really sick with it. Has it already mutated?
Oh, well, there's already different variants. Yeah, we're seeing 3 or 4 different variants of it. And the viruses do that. This is an RNA virus. They mutate really quickly. Viruses like to live and take over their hosts. That's what they do. So it already has. So that's kind of a non-starter. We're looking, at 4 or 5 different variants right now.
Do you think that's why some people are sicker than others?
Possibly. There's a lot we don't know. It seems to have more than one way of attacking. You know, as we look at, you know, treatments like chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine, we're looking at those different theories of the mechanism of action. It seems to inhibit how the virus replicates, and it seems to work quickly. So those are good things. It's a cheap old drug. So that's great, you know, and looking at the data from China and from Italy, hopefully we're ramping production of it. So those are good things, you know, and that's what we have to look at is what's working elsewhere. We certainly need to be ramping production of protective gear for our front line. I tried for 2 months to get the N95 mask, and I finally ended up buying a respirator because I was not able to get to my supplier. And then working through family connections to in the business world to someone who worked with an NGO, I was able to get just today, after trying for 2 months, my hands on ordering N95 that were produced in China but meet our certification standards in this country to help my colleagues across the country. Not just me, but my colleagues across the country, because our government has not stepped up to the plate. And that shouldn't be happening. That just should not be happening.
Dr. Kathleen London.
Things that, you know.
Sorry, we're going to have to run here, but we will talk to you again. You're one of my favorite guests of all times, and you know that.
I'm sure you're bunkered down somewhere.
I am. Don't worry. You
wash your hands. I know you do, but do it again for
thank
me.
You. Thank you, Dr. Kathleen London. Dr. Chaya, Chaya, if you want to find her on social media. All right, let's now check in with Kim Gordon. What's happening on the roadways?